we've bounced around in our theology this morning wonderfully. The things we've touched on through our worship songs. Ending with, culminating with thinking about Jesus coming again. The second coming, the parousia, as the theologians call it. Yeah, Jesus is coming again. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I got some people. But we're born again of the Spirit of God. That's, I suppose, that's when our spiritual life begins, but it has begun before, because God's been doing things in our lives before, in lots and lots of different ways. We've just not heard him. All right? But praise God, there are times when we do hear him and him calling us to him, and we get saved. And then there's all that time in between, and then Jesus comes again. Or we die. All right. Now, what I hope, and I've been praying, is that what I'm going to share with you this morning is going to help you a little bit between the time you're born again and the time you either die or Jesus comes again. All right. For some of us, it's a long time. Other people, it's a short time. But irrespective of the time interval, something's got to happen. God wants something to happen in between. All right? Anybody? Okay, just thought I'd remind you. But makeover? That's a good answer. But that's not the right one. Right. I love saying that. Okay. Right. How do you keep going in your Christian life? How do you do it? How do I do it? It's passion. Passion for God and God's passion for me, expressed through grace. And me actually seeing it. That keeps me going. And so, this morning, what I want to do is to continue where I began in the middle of July. don't ask. Yeah, don't ask. All right? Anybody a clue at all? Oh, because you've got notes. Yeah, not because she's seen my message. No, no. I've learnt not to let Lynn look at it. Reigniting our passion for God. I want to give you a second way of reigniting your passion for God. And for me, to reignite my passion for God more. So I want to continue this series. All right? Now, without looking in your notes, Lynn, what was the first passion for God killer that I told you about back in July? And it wasn't wearing sandals with socks, okay? You probably, that's about all you remember. He mentioned actually wearing sandals with socks. All right? Okay, seeing as you all know, but are keeping quiet. It was having an imbalanced schedule in your life. You're either overworked or underworked. Overworked or underworked. And both those things we saw, right, that these can stifle and affect our passion for God and for the things of God. There is a bit of a difference, actually, being passionate for God and being passionate for the things of God. And we need both. This morning, how would you measure your passion for God? Like, how would you measure your body temperature. I certainly wouldn't stick this in my mouth. I know where it's been. All right? It's still got my thermometer. But we've all kinds of these modern thermometers these days. And what do they measure? Temperature. And we use certain ones for body temperature. All right? But how do we measure our passion for God? How, you know, if I asked you, justify this morning your passion for God, what would you say? How would you rate it? I've heard some people say, on a scale of 10, how would you measure it? 0? 10? 3? 6? Where would you put it? Why would you put your passion there? How do you express, how do I express my passion for God? I'm assuming you're accepting that we should be passionate about God. All right? How do we express our passion for God? Have you considered the things that fill your time with? You know, imbalanced schedules. Since the middle of July, have you done some thinking about those things? About because things in our lives can elbow God out. All right? He can be pushed out by things in our lives. Then in our singing, we were talking about nurturing. Lynn mentioned in a prayer and others about nurturing our relationship with God. How do we do that? Are we making time for that? I want to consider today another passion killer for God. Another passion killer. And it's this. It's having a talent and not using it. It's having a talent and not using it. Now, in the Bible, and in lots of places in the Bible, I'm homing in, if you want a scripture verse here, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. We'll be thinking about the different phrases and the whole overall teaching of that particular verse that God, through Peter, has given us. And this is what Peter says. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts. And they are all to be used in the service of others. And then he tags on another little sentence. So use your gifts well. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many gifts, and they are to be used in the service of others, so use your gifts well. All right? I believe that everyone, doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, we've all got special gifts, special talents, special abilities. Can you name some? You've got them. Prophecy. Yep. Does that include all people? No. Christians and non-Christians. Because you see, we sometimes get funneled in the Christian gifts. But let's consider everybody in the world. Love. Okay? Compassion. Oh, you're a spiritual lot, aren't you? Teaching. Kindness. That's a fruit. Understanding. Hope so. Okay. DIY. Okay. Let's get low on this. Swimming. Okay. Thanks, Lee. Swimming. Singing. Playing a musical instrument. Me? No. Maths.
Drawing.
Hospitality. Ooh, spiritual.
Sewing nice quilts.
Me. No. All right. All those kinds of things. Okay? All those kinds of gifts. Special talents. Special abilities. Special gifts. All right? But, and in, this is where Peter's truth comes in. Okay? Did you know that God has given every Christian, whether you're a young Christian, whether you're an old Christian, one or more special spiritual gifts as well that non-Christians don't have? Every one of us here. What a statement. Has got spiritual gifts. Every single one of us. Did you know that? Yeah? You knew that? That's good. Do you know the names of some of these? We've already mentioned a few. We'll go back to this in a moment. The most important thing, though, I've said you've all got gifts. The first important thing is this. Do you know what yours is? Because how can you do it without knowing what it is? How can you do it? And if you do know your spiritual gift, are you using it? Because you see, you can tick one box, but you might say, maybe I'm not using it. I want you to notice four things about spiritual gifts here. These are not my 4 points, all right? The first thing is this. I want you to notice from 1 Peter, let me read it again. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts, and they are all to be used in the service of others, so use your gifts well. Now, the first thing I want you to notice here is that God the Holy Spirit, who gives the gifts, he gives them in his sovereignty. Now, what does that mean? It's God who chooses who he gives the gifts to and which gifts he gives them to. And let me tell you now, God never gets it wrong. He got it completely right with the gifts that he gave you and me. He got it completely right. He's the giver. We aren't. And so we can't cry if we don't have one of the gifts. We can pray about it and ask God, and he might give us a bit later. But don't cry about it. You probably got enough to do with using the one he's given you, or the two, or the three, or the four, or whatever number. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this. A spiritual gift is, as the name suggests, it's spiritual in character. So you've got to treat it like that. You've got to use it like that. What does it mean? Well, we've got to be open to God and for God to lead us in the using of our gifts. It's not up to you and me to think up how to use it. It's up to you and me to be open to God to say, I'm passing on this information for you. How you can use it. Because you see, without God's guidance, where and how, and without God's power, we can't use our gifts the way he wants us to. So, that's one of the reasons why we need to walk close to God. So we can hear what God says ongoingly. Because you see, you may hear one day about how God wants to use you to use your gift or one of your gifts. And then he might say, now I've been watching you. I want you to take you a bit further now. So we've got to keep tuned in. Keep tuned in. The third thing I want you to notice here is this. As we serve God and use our spiritual gifts the way that God wants us to, then, because the giver is the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is able to manifest himself through us effectively, and we can shine for Jesus. We shine for Jesus. And there's going to be a spiritual harvest through you and me using our gifts. The fourth thing is this. I want you to notice that God gives particular people certain gifts, certain abilities, certain talents, and they're not primarily for us, meaning ourselves. Peter's saying they're not for you. They're for other people. They're for other people to strengthen, to build up other people. He does say that little bit right at the end. So use your gifts well. In other words, don't use them sparingly. All right? Use them well. Use them well. Anybody got the link yet? Keep thinking. My gifts are for your benefit. That's why I'm stood up here. My gifts are for your benefit. Good answer, but no. Maybe. All right. Your gifts are for my benefit. This morning, we had a manifestation of gifts, a use of gifts. And we got built up and we got strengthened. Just think if people hadn't used them. We'd become Quakers. And we'd sit in silence for 2 hours. Maybe there's a gift there. So they're not primarily for ourselves. But we will be blessed if we use them. I get blessed preaching. I get blessed teaching. I get blessed encouraging people. I know those are my gifts. You might say, you don't encourage me. All right? God has given each one of us a special role to play in the church and in the world. And he wants us to know it. And when we know it, he wants us to pursue it. With everything that we got, Lynn said, 100%. All right? I think it's as if God's saying, I've given you these gifts and talents, and if you don't use them, you're going to miss my purpose for your life. And in turn, what I'm talking about today, you're going to lose your passion for me. And you're going to lose your passion for people. So God wants us to express. He wants us to use our gifts. He doesn't want us just to sit on them. Or do nothing about them or with them. I want you to use them. Unless you might lose them. It's your choice and it's my choice. So, are you using your gifts this morning? I've asked you. Do you know your gifts? I'm asking you, are you using them? How are you using them? I want to get real specific then, okay? And you're thinking, will he use me? If you and I are stuck in a job that doesn't use your talents to any degree, what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen if you're stuck in a job that's not using your talents? What's going to happen? You get bored. Lose your enthusiasm. What is? You get rubbish. You'll be rubbish at it. You want to leave. Okay? You'll want to leave. I was reading some studies, and one of the studies was all about us Brits. And in this survey, I read kind of two surveys. One was generally the population in Britain. Somebody came up with a figure. They said 70% of all Brits are in a job that does not use their talents fully. Somebody else did a survey based on graduates in 2013 and 2014. And it said 50% are not using their qualifications that they got at university. I think that's tragic. I think that's tragic. I think it makes God sad, and it can make and has made people lacking in passion. You see, where am I up to? There we go. It makes God sad. You see, I don't think God gave us talents and gifts and abilities, and then he said, don't use them, just go and make money. I don't believe God said that. And we, you know, I was just kind of reflecting on my working life from the age of 16. And I think, wow, have I been working that long? With the occasional year off, now and then. But God actually said, Jesus actually said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, this is what he said. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Strong words, aren't they? You can't serve both God and mammon or money. I think there's something more important in life than money. And that's using what God gave us. And I think Jesus' parable of the talents, and you can read that yourself, what he says about the need to use what you've got. So are we making God-given talents available for God to use? Now, put your hand up if you've ever been stuck in a job that you hate. Hey, reality. All right. Sometimes you might be in there. You might not be now. Why do you hate it? Why do we hate it? Maybe because we're not using our talents in it. Gina said, bored, unfulfilled. What happens when that happens, you find you're in a job and you become to hate it? What happens? What can you lose? Passion. Ah, oh, get up. Breakfast. Get to work. 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock. 5 past. And you can't wait till the day for the day to end, can you? But let me let you into a little secret here. You've probably discovered it yourself. There's a reality. You and I are never going to find a job that uses 100% of your gifts and my gifts. We're not. You're never going to find one job, a job, 100% fulfilling. We're not. Why is that? Why is that, do you think? Is it we're all multi-talented? Hello? Are we multi-talented? Well, maybe. But I think it's much deeper than that. I believe that God never meant you and I to be 100% fulfilled through your job. I believe that. I believe that. Your life is much more than your job. It's more than your family. It's more than your health. It's much more than that. It's to do with relationship with God and being using and using our gifts. I believe God wants each one of us to have an M. Do you know what that is? McDonald's. McDonald's, yes. Put your hands up. Let's hear it for McDonald's. Thank goodness, not. It's great. Did I ever tell you the story about McDonald's? No. I love McDonald's. I love it. Oh, well, I did. I thought my kids loved it. And I remember when Lynn actually went home for 6 weeks from Japan. And I thought, whoa, can go any time. And so we did. After about the third or fourth time, I said to the kids, kids, let's go to McDonald's for lunch. And you know what my kids said? Let's stop home and have a sandwich. I mean, what? What is that? What's the M? It's not McDonald's. It's a ministry. God wants each one of us to have a ministry. It might be at McDonald's. There's a double whammer. It might be at McDonald's. Probably won't be. There is a spiritual ministry in this church for everybody here. There is. There's a spiritual ministry for each one of us. And God's given you the spiritual gifts to do it. To do it. What sorts of ministries are there? Now, can anybody tell me, where do we find in the New Testament, where will you find that long list and none of those lists that in these four places are complete? There are four places in the New Testament when the writers speak about spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4. Nope. Pardon? In the book of Acts. They're used in the book of Acts, but there's no big list there. What, Corinth? There's two 12s and two 4s. It's a way to remember it. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 4, no, 12. Okay? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Peter. 1 Peter 4. So two 4s and two 12s. And in those, you'll actually find lots and lots of spiritual gifts listed. All right? Lots of spiritual gifts listed. Now, when God says something once, we read it. When he says something twice, what do you think he's trying to say? This is important. Then he says it three times. Very important. And when he says it's four times, you better do it. Don't miss it. All right? And here, he actually mentions about spiritual gifts four times. So, first, I read it. Second, I sit up. Third, fourth, wow, I better get hold of this. And so he mentions it four times. Now, tell me, what do you think these four chapters contain? What are the names of some of these gifts, can you think? Prophecy, teaching, healing. Pardon? Oh, tongues. Sorry, missed that one. What was, Paul, what were we going to say? Hospitality. Yep. Giving. Love. Fruit is love. But thank goodness he gives us an extra portion. Faith. Evangelism. The gift of the evangelist. Leadership. Encouragement. Helps. Serving. Giving. Administration. Dreams. Visions. pictures. Discernment. Words of knowledge. Interpretation of tongues. Because you mentioned tongues. Miracles. They're all mentioned in there. All mentioned. I'm sure there's a gift in that list that we've come up with. You've got one of them or more. Do you know which one? Do you know which one? You've got. People always need help. Support. Strengthening. And that's why God gave us all these gifts. To do that. To do that. I read a lovely story this week about a violinist. His name, Niccolo Paganini. You know him? He sounds like pasta to me. But Paganini. Niccolo Paganini. And he willed the marvelous violin that he played to the city where he was born, Genoa. But there was one condition that he made. The instrument must never be played. His violin that he played, no one could play it. Now that was pretty unfortunate. Because, again, I read that wood is a peculiar thing. In that, as long as it's used, as long as it's handled, it shows very little wear. But as soon as you stop and discard it and stop using it, it begins to decay. It begins to decay. Now, sadly, as it's never been used since Paganini gave it to Genoa, it's become worm-eaten. And it's like an old relic, unusable. Now, spiritual gifts are a bit like that. They need to be used. They need to be used God's way for the building up of people and the strengthening of people. Not using them, I'm suggesting, kills our passion for God and for people. I came across another story. And it's a story about a painter. Once upon a time, there was a famous house builder and painter. And after designing homes, he would build them and then he would paint them. And as a painter, he was such an amazing artist that he didn't even need drop cloths. You know what those are? Put a cloth down where you're painting because paint drips. Okay? He never needed them. He had a real steady hand. And he was a bit finicky about the kinds of paints he used and the quality of paint. Because he didn't want any drips. Just nice, tight, straight lines. Now, this craftsman, he designed, built and painted homes all by himself with his own hands. But then one day, he had a remarkable idea. And he was standing by one of the houses that he's just finished building. And he saw a bunch of kids walking along the road. They were minding their own business, as kids do, yeah, laughing and carrying, you know, the backpacks coming home from school. And he shouted this, "Hey kids," he said. And everybody recognized the master craftsman. And this is what he said to them. "How would you like to do some painting?" And they said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "I'll tell you what. I'll give you each a bucket of paint and a brush. And you can paint my new house that I've just built. Do you want to have a give it a go? Do you want to give it a try?" And they got stuck in, these kids. And in the story it said, he opened up the back of his truck and he got out all these little buckets and brushes and cans of paint. and gave them to the kids. And they started slapping on the colours, all right, on different parts. They got it on the garage. They got it on the pavement. They got it on each other, as kids do. But they also got a lot of paint on the house as well, especially up to 4 feet high, because they were only primary school kids, you see. As the other kids came by, they said to the children painting away, a bit like Tom Sawyer's story, can we do some painting as well? And they joined in. And after about an hour or two, the whole house on the ground floor was covered with paint. And the house painter's neighbours came along and they looked at this sight that the kids had produced. And you know what they said to the craftsman? You gotta be joking. What a mess. It's a mess. What were you thinking? And this is what the painter said. He said, of course, I could have painted this house all by myself. But I've always built houses and painted houses in order to bring joy to people. So based on this goal, I think this is the most beautiful house I've ever made. Because you see, these kids, when they come, they see their part in painting that house. And they say, this is the house of the master painter, but it's also ours, because we painted it. Now, God's like that with his church. God's like that with his church. And he pours out his Holy Spirit upon us, and he gives us these gifts. And I believe when we become Christians, it's as though God gives us, each one of us, a can of paint and a brush. And he says, get on painting my church. Because people will come by and see it. And I believe that's part of the reason why God gives spiritual gifts. Now, what are you going to remind me? These things. What do you think? How do you think these are linked? Right, yes. If we don't open this tin, I'll have to let you into a little secret. On Thursday night, we did some painting. David got a lot of paint cans out and he left them up in that youth room. There was one big tin and I went to pick it up and the bottom had rusted. So I put it back down. So David's going to be asking. All right, it's still there. Okay. But if we don't take the top off, we're never going to use it. Anybody got any old cans of paint at home? Yeah? How old?
Very old.
Very old. You're not using them then? Yeah. Even the rust gets in there, doesn't it? Yeah. All right. You never know when you're going to need it. 25 years later, open up the can. This wasn't brown when I put the lid on. All right. Any other? Thank you for that. How are they linked? What's this? Yes. When you get too hot working, you have a hot cup of tea. Yeah, that's logic. Yeah. If it's freezing, you can't paint. Tells us what it's about, our passion, isn't it? For God. Passion for God. How about, we talked about the paint. How about my little book? Look at that. Unused. To be quite honest, I don't want to dirty this. And so actually, you know when we were short of water over in Leyland? Andy and Jean, because everybody else was fine. Well, we got these 5 litre bottles of water. Right? They're standing about that high. Those are great. As paint buckets. I cut the top off because I didn't want to spoil my little paint bucket. Anyway, what's that all about in our message this morning? You can't use the paint without the brush. You got a gift, paint in there. We're like a brush. Slap it on. Okay? Any other? How is it linked? I only thought of this morning.
That's not the brush you
mean. No, it isn't. But the only brush I had was about that big, and I wanted those at the back to see it. So I thought I'll slip that one in because I know Maggie won't tell me. Oh, sorry, no, no. Margie, sorry about that. Oh. Thank you. Right, yeah, we need a brush. And sometimes you use the wrong brush. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that bit. If it's, yes, they're both, and again, they're both unused. Should have brought in some dirty ones, shouldn't I? Just so happens there's a big plastic box at the centre full of rollers and dirty paintbrushes. Just soaking. All right. They're mine. All right. That's what I want to leave with you. This morning, reigniting our passion for God. Not just being a passion killer, too busy or not busy enough, but having a gift that's unused. It's going to affect our passion for God. We'll be looking at another one next time I preach. But I want you to work on this one. I want you to think about your schedule. About the first passion for God killer. In order to be released for your ministry that God has for you in Community Church Blackburn. And then, if you don't know what your gifts are, what do you think you should do? Pray about it. Ask. Or read those 2:12s and 2:4s. The passages with them in. Then, find out the one you've got. Then what to do? Pardon? Work on it. Or them. Find an M. Just down the road. McDonald's, no. Find a ministry where you can use it. It's great. Join with us doing the same ministry. And your passion for God, I promise you, will rise. Because it pleases God. That's what I want to leave you with. I want to pray for us. All of us, myself included. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that's so full of truth. This truth that Pete read out this morning about the Spirit has never been alone. What a wonderful truth that is. And then the truth that we've been examining today about spiritual gifts, how they're linked with our passion for you. Oh Lord, just guide us, we pray. Help us to be open to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Give us revelation about our gifts if we need it. Revelation how to use our gifts more and more. Because your word says, use them well. I pray, Lord, that we'll all be able to say, I'm using them well. Oh, Lord, just thank you for your presence. So many ways amongst us today. We love you, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit. We are yours, Father, for you to use as you think fit. Just thank you for your presence, your guidance, your grace, your help in each of our lives today. In your wonderful name. Amen. Amen.